This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com coming to you on the 4th of October 2011 here in Japan, the 3rd of October 2011 back on the west coast of Canada, where I'm joined on the line by Christopher Porter, the leader of the Canadian Action Party at VoteCap.ca. Christopher, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you, James, for having me. It's a privilege.
All right. Well, it's good to have you on. As longtime listeners of the Corbett Report might remember, I used to interview one of the previous leaders of the Canadian Action Party, Connie Fogel. So some listeners might already be familiar with the Canadian Action Party and what it stands for. But for those people who are encountering it for the first time, why don't you talk a little bit about the party and its history?
Well, thank you. It was started in 1997 by the ex-Deputy Prime Minister Paul Hellyer during Pierre Trudeau's days. And he started the party because he thought that we were losing Canada. He saw the threats to with the free trade agreements. He saw the power of the bankers and watched us go away from using the Bank of Canada, and actually came out of retirement from politics to start the party. And so we've been formed since 1997. And it's exciting time, I think, for the party. It's having almost its renaissance resurge here right now, because people are starting to really see and think that we might have lost Canada's sovereignty. And that's our main pillar, is the sovereignty of this country, of going back to a monetary reform system that utilizes our national bank, which was nationalized for the citizens of Canada in 1938 on August 15th. And we're one of the few countries that can be proud to say we still own a national bank and have power over it. We just need to have the will to use it. And of course, civil rights and the environment and parliamentary reforms, very important for us. We're tired of watching politicians with no accountability and not being able to be held accountable for any of their actions, such as integrated borders or increased crime bills and all this stuff that's happening to our great nation here.
That's right. Well, as you say, this is, I think, a time that where people are ripe to encounter this type of information, as more and more people become disenchanted with the system as it's been presented to us. But before we get more into the five pillars of the Canadian Action Party, perhaps you can talk a little bit about yourself and how you came to be involved with the party.
Well, I actually got involved in the party just less than 2 years ago. And I got involved because I was in the South Pacific in a small country called the Solomon Islands. And in 2002... 2,000 troops from Australia came in and started interjecting into the politics of the country. And it was such a small country, and the capital city is only 15,000 people, and I lived in a village there. And I watched them come in, and I watched them start getting involved in the gold. I started watching them involved in the tuna, and saw the World Bank move in, saw aid organizations moved in. And it was so small, you couldn't ignore it. And you could just see the sovereignty of the country just get so diluted to the point where they were giving away their resources, and they were selling their natural resources, not for the betterment of their people. And they had a national bank too, and all they needed was some technology. And while I was watching it, someone said, you know, you need to go back home and check out Canada as well. I said, well, we would never get to the point we would give up so much of our sovereignty, and we would never give up so much of our resources. That's our children's inheritance. And I came back and I was just shocked at what was happening here in British Columbia, and started wanting to be more political after so many years of not being political, and wanted to get more involved, and found the Canadian Action Party. And for anybody who loves Canada, the party's pillars just speak for itself, and it just drew me in, and I had to do more, and here I am now leading the party.
Well, that's interesting. I think your story is probably similar to a lot of people out there who just blindly assume that, oh, it could never happen here, all of these types of things that we see going on around the world that we know is a problem. Well, it could never happen in our own home, but when we see it happening, that is, of course, a clarion call to action. So it's good to see that you heeded that call and stepped up to the plate as the leader of the Canadian Action Party. So let's get a little bit more into the five pillars of the party and really what the party stands for.
Certainly, the main pillar is monetary reform. And like I stated, in 1938, we have a nationalized Bank of Canada, and the Bank of Canada did so much for this country. We made the Trans-Canada Highway, we built in the healthcare system, we got ourselves out of the Depression, and we prepared ourselves and got us through the Second World War using the Bank of Canada. And since we've gone away from using it and relied more on commercial banks, we're now in a position of $165 million a day in interest on our public debt for this country. So that means every riding, there's 308 electoral ridings in Canada. It means every day each riding is missing out about $500,000 that could go towards better infrastructure projects for the communities. So what we are saying is that we need to go back to utilizing the Bank of Canada. Let's go back to at least a 50% utilization of the Bank of Canada for funding infrastructure projects, and let's move away from relying on private banking institutions.
Well, I think that is obviously, I mean, it's self-evidently something that needs to be done, especially because, as you note, Canada is one of the very few places with a private bank. With a publicly owned central bank. Tell us more about some of the other things that the Canadian Action Party stands for on sovereignty and on government.
All right. Our second pillar is sovereignty, and we believe that Canada needs to retain its sovereignty. We need to get away from the free trade agreements. And we need to ensure that when we start sacrificing our natural resources, that we start taking into account the loss of the future investment value of these resources. And we need to think for our children. We need to have a longer vision plan for the economic development of Canada and stop going away from privatization with, to be perfectly honest, globalist corporations. These corporations have the interest of profit and not the betterment of the individual citizens of these countries, and we need to retain our sovereignty. And for me, it's so exciting to get in touch with people from all over the world, Ghana, Tibet, England, Ireland, everywhere, just saying, no, we will be fighting for our sovereignty. And it is a big surge around the world right now, and it's an exciting time.
It certainly is. How about civil rights and what's being done by the government right now to erode those civil rights that we have enjoyed previously?
Exactly. It's amazing to see all the new legislation and agendas get pushed through the parliament right now. And we need to start questioning at what loss are these bills getting passed through when police now don't need search warrants to get into natural health products, homes and stores, when we're building more crime centers instead of trying to be proud of the fact that crime's going down. You know, we look at G20, like, who would imagine that was Toronto? Who would imagine that was Canada, this country of easygoing people? Who would imagine that we've got to a state where our own police are now saying civil rights don't mean anything now in the streets during these days of the meeting? It's enough's enough. We've lost our Canadianism, and that's what we have to get back.
So how about electoral reform? I understand that, of course, a small party like the Canadian Action Party is inherently at a disadvantage in many ways. So what would you do to try to level the playing field for third party type candidates?
Well, it's not even leveling the playing field for third parties. What we're trying to do is get MPs to be accountable for the people that put them into position of power. You know, this is a job interview during the federal elections, and we have to treat it as such. And just like any job, the employee needs to be held accountable. And currently we have a system that once MPs get in, a lot of them just follow the party lines. They're not necessarily voting on behalf of the citizens that elected them. They're voting along party lines. And we just want to see more accountability. The HST recall here in BC is a prime example of how the power of the people can work. But let's not get to a state of a recall. Let's get to a state of immediate participation by the citizens before decisions that cause us trouble occur. And let's really hold these positions of representation to accountability.
All right, well, let's get more into the border issues with Canada and the U.S. and really the physical instantiation of the sovereignty issue, because as my listeners might know, that the U.S. and Canada is about to announce a comprehensive border deal. I'm not sure, maybe they have announced it by this point. I haven't seen any news on that, but they're at least in the final stages of preparing a proposed border plan that looks like it's going to really start to further erode sovereignty. Talk a little bit about that issue and where you think Canada and the U.S. should be in terms of their relations.
Well, those of us that have been following this have seen it's changed its names from SPP to, now it's such a long acronym you can't even make it up. It's such a threat to our sovereignty when we are talking about a border that now has an integrated police service. We're not talking about opening up the borders. We're talking about opening up our vulnerability to being contained and searched by anybody in across the North American continent. That's quite a powerful shift from where we would be able to cross the border simply with a wave and a driver's license. We are now going to get this huge protection network that somehow is going to make us a lot safer. And, that's shocking to many of us that see this head towards some would call more of a police state. And we need to question if that's what we want to do. I was in Greece during one of the first ever meetings of the EU, and it was this exciting time for Europe. They were going to open up all the borders and you could travel all around without any concern, and everybody was going to get wealthier. That was 16 years ago. And look what's happening in the same country now, 16 years later, where the people are riding in the streets and saying enough's enough, and we're not going to get into debt anymore. So this is a serious issue that everyone across the world needs to be involved in, and especially Canadians and Americans right now.
Well, as we noted near the beginning of this interview, this is certainly a time when more people are becoming genuinely excited about politics again and trying to get actively involved. And we see that, I think, most notably right now with the Occupy Wall Street movement, which is starting to expand and even coming to Toronto and other places. So what's your take on what's happening right now, and where do you stand on that type of protest movement?
Well, I think it's great because the people are saying, look, we have no other ways to communicate here. We're not getting listened to. And we are a large number of people, and we are going to gather and show you that it's not just a few of us sending a lot of emails and faxes and to your offices. This is really physical people that are saying enough is enough here. And these type of movements, you know, we're fully supporting, and we're going to have a team out there during the Occupy Bay Street movement on October 15th. This is a time that we have to say, you know, we're not getting the answers, and we're not accusing, we're just asking some hard questions here. We want some clear views and some clear answers on, is this happening? Why are these bailouts happening? What's happening with them? Show you that we need some answers here. So I think it's an exciting time because it's peaceful, but it's in force and it's in mass, and it's saying, look, and now the governments and the other side is getting more of a bad vision to this, because they're coming out in force, and they're coming out with police, and they're coming out with batons and fire cannons, and people are saying, what's happening? This is in my own backyard. What's happening here? And so it is an exciting time. It's a more clear time. It's a more transparent time. And I think it's going to be exciting what's going to happen in the future.
So if people in the audience were interested in getting involved with the Occupy Bay Street, with Canadian Action Party specifically at the Occupy Bay Street protest, how would they get in touch with you, and how would they organize that?
Yes, definitely. We would love people to get in touch with us here at CAP for the Occupy Bay Street and anything about protecting Canada's sovereignty. I always say, if you're not participating in the protection of the country, you're speculating it. From somebody who you spectate a lot, I challenge everyone to really look at what's happening to this. So you can reach me directly at any time, answering service at 50999-VOTE. That's 250-999-8683. And that's in Canada, country code 1. Feel free to go to the website, CanadianActionParty.ca, or voteapp.ca.
and contact tourists there, just put in the subject line Occupy Bay Streets, and we have a team leader organized. Happy to have everyone help us in participating for this beautiful country.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, our connection is breaking up a little bit, so perhaps we can try this again at another time that hopefully we can get a landline or something. But for those who missed that, it was votecap.ca, and the number is 1-800-250?
1-250.
1-250. Vote. All right, one more time?
1-250-999-8683.
999-8683. Okay, excellent. All right, well, I certainly hope people will check into that and hopefully visit votecap.ca to find out more information. Christopher Porter, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today, and good luck in the future.
Thank you very much, James.